Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the second Sunday in Advent, the early holiday liturgy, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Recently, a friend gave me a copy of Thomas Friedman's latest book, Thank You for Being Late. It's a curious title, isn't it? Actually, though, it was the subtitle of that Pulitzer Prize-winning author's book, An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in an Age of Acceleration, that intrigued me most and that caused me to connect this book to the season of Advent. In his Optimist's Guide, Friedman helps his readers make sense of the exponential and accelerating changes in technology, globalization, and climate change. And in many ways, this is what the season of Advent calls us to do in every age, to ponder our lives and our circumstances, and it calls us to our need for God's saving love. Now, I'm a pretty optimistic guy, the type of person who thinks that the sun is going to shine a little bit brighter tomorrow than it did today. And without doubt, you and I have plenty of things to be positive about and thankful for, beginning with our many freedoms and our life here in Silicon Valley. Keeping all that in mind, how do we make sense of our readings from the second Sunday of Advent? For we ponder them tonight against more than a bit of darkness and thick clouds hovering over God's people. In our own country, rancor from both sides of the political spectrum continues to accelerate, accomplishing little but wearing us down. And during these past 2 months, there's been an ever-increasing number of reports about the systematic mistreatment of women by elected and possibly soon to be elected representatives and by members of the media. Less dramatic, but still significant, is the heightened stress experienced by many Stanford students during this time of year as they grind out term papers that have suddenly become due and sacrifice needed sleep in order to do some last-minute preparation for upcoming exams. All of these unfolding events can cause more than a few of us to become contemporary voices in the wilderness asking, if life is supposedly so good, why do I feel so miserable? Jesus may have come a long time ago, but he still asks these questions of each of us today. What have you done to make my good news a living reality in your life? In your day-to-day interactions, can you point to evidence of the gospel message of love, justice, and peace? Is integrity the foundation upon which you build your life? Simply stated, can you and I say, here is our God, in whose name we make this earth new? I'd suggest that in the midst of these questions, we find the challenge which Advent presents to us and the message contained in today's readings from Scripture, a message about thriving in an age of acceleration. What would John the Baptist have to say about reports of the mistreatment and humiliation of women, and in more than a few cases, men, at the hands of those who wield power over them? From what we know about the Old Testament prophets, and John was the last of that line, he would have been outraged. Yes, he would have raged and roared, chastised and scolded. Though you and I might agree that the abuse of others or the exploitation of the powerless everywhere is unjust and cannot be tolerated, many of us tend to forget about these issues once the next news cycle gets underway. To John and the prophets of old, however, all of these unfolding events would be seen as catastrophic and represent a great deal more. And that's because John the Baptist, like the other Old Testament prophets, was a messenger of God, expressing the message in notes one octave too high for our ears and using words that begin to burn where conscience ends. John would have railed against our moral laxity, of which political vulgarity and offenses against too many women and men are but recent national examples. But he would have done so for a purpose. For as a prophet, his ultimate concern would have been to bring back to God all those who would listen. Yes, behind every prophet's rant is love and compassion for humankind. John would have used strong language to condemn our present-day scandals, but he would have done so out of love. From a prophet's point of view, the real scandal behind men in power abusing others is this: something other than God became more attractive to them. And as a consequence, in darkness, in elevators, they did furtively what they would have been ashamed to do in the light. These are people who, in our age of acceleration, lost sight of the most basic norms of decency. Women being treated poorly in the workplace and the other ethical compromises that such behaviors give rise to are good points of departure for us on the second Sunday of Advent. For most of us find our daily lives filled with small temptations to desire something more than God. Our sins of moral compromise, our ethical hembling and hawing are not the stuff of the news, but they are just the same, whether in the form of unchecked ambition, petty jealousy, or workaholism. I know I'm no stranger to the pitfalls of giving into the temptations of the underside of this age of acceleration. It was against such tendencies that John the Baptist preached to the people of his day. He does so the same for us today. Our church gives John center stage during Advent so we can experience the full blast of his righteous indignation in the hope that we will turn back to God with patience and perseverance. Unlike certain workplace tyrants, God does not lord power over us, nor does God dangle rewards in front of us. If we perform our good works, make sacrifices, and praise God, thinking that he will have to reward us, we will be disappointed. However, if we simply surrender, if we take the time to empty our hearts and minds of all else, we'll find, quite unexpectedly, that God is there waiting for us. The good news of the gospel is that God has done something dramatic and continues to make dramatic transformations, not in the fiery visions of the second reading, but with every hardened heart that lets itself be held close by God and washed by Jesus' purifying love. It is by such ordinary, yet extraordinary means that Jesus, holy wisdom incarnate, transforms our world and our hearts. And wouldn't you know it, the meaning of the title of Tom Friedman's book, Thank You for Being Late, is the lesson of Advent. It's an argument for being late, for pausing to appreciate this amazing epoch we're passing through and to reflect on its possibilities and dangers. That, too, is our Advent challenge. In each of the next 14 days, amidst the noise and haste, to commit to slowing down, if only for a short while, to breathing more deeply and quietly praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come into my messy life. Fill me with a peace only you can give." In tonight's liturgy, Let's pray for the grace to be individuals in a community receptive to God's unconditional love, and to building a community that treats every person with dignity, a community that helps fashion a kingdom of justice in an always accelerating world.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.